We'll commence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of August 18, 2006, this is the Rain Report, Ham Radio's audio internet feature magazine, available both from arnewsline.org and therainreport.com. I'm Neil Schaefer, AA9KK. PRB1 preemption is a set of guidelines that amateur radio operators utilize in their struggles to erect antenna structures, otherwise known as towers, in municipalities where the local government has failed to reasonably accommodate the wannabe big gun DXer. An ARRL volunteer council named Brennan Price, N4QX, penned an article for the Fall 2004 Connecticut Law Review entitled Reasonable Accommodation of Amateur Radio Communications by Zoning Authorities, the FCC's PRB1 Preemption. According to Price, there have been some successes with PRB1 since 2003. There have also been some failures.
2003 brought another case which turned out against the amateur. Boscher versus Township of Algoma was brought to the federal court of the Western District of Michigan. Mr. Boscher wanted to put up a 180-foot tower to operate FM simplex over a ridge that was some 3 miles to the south. And that was essentially the extent of the engineering justification he offered. Perhaps he did have a good case, although the judge in that case did his homework, suggested that a lower height with a better antenna utilizing various diffraction techniques or the common approach of speaking through repeaters would accommodate the same need. You have to read the decision in order to get a feel for how overwhelming the technical evidence was against the amateur in this case. The important point to drive home from all of this is it's incumbent on the amateur to make a good technical case to the zoning board, and ideally a public service case to the zoning board as well, in order to demonstrate why the installation is necessary in order to provide a reasonable accommodation. And in these negotiations, he starts at 75 feet. We see if it sticks, and then if they holler, they look at the case law and sometimes come back with a lower number, which most people can live with. It's good to have several alternate plans and to maintain some degree of negotiating flexibility. That degree of flexibility wasn't evident in the Boscher case, and the failure to present a technical case was also a key in the earlier Williams case from 1990. It cannot be overemphasized. My article was published in fall of 2004. I want to briefly say what's happened since 2004 on the antenna zoning front. Two more states have adopted PRB1 legislation, Missouri and Mississippi. Missouri, I think, adopted in late 2004, and Mississippi has just adopted within the last month. Legislation has been passed by both houses of the Assembly in Vermont. It's awaiting Governor Jim Douglas's signature there. Massachusetts State Court enforced PRB1 via its state statute. This is a continuation of a case that I actually mentioned tangentially in my article. It's Chedester versus the town of Whately, Massachusetts. This is notable because it, along with the Marchand case, are the only cases that I know of where a state court has evaluated PRB1. Generally speaking, the body of case law is before federal courts. However, there are some state courts that are beginning to evaluate the preemption and apply it in ways that are favorable to the amateur. And W6TER in New Mexico has proven there's more than one way to skin a cat in his case before the New Mexico Supreme Court. A preemption argument was made there, but the New Mexico Supreme Court actually found for the amateur on a different ground, and this could be useful to amateurs looking to erect an antenna. The Supreme Court of New Mexico held that a municipality basically can't change the rules in the middle of the game. What happened in the W6TER case was the amateur applied to the county for a permit. There was no restriction at the time. The zoning officer said, yeah, there's no restriction at the time. We're going to give you a building permit. Gave him the building permit and started work on constructing a 140-foot radio tower. Two towers. People went crazy. They basically went and tried to retroactively change the ordinance. A stop work order was issued, and it eventually ended up in court, worked its way up to the New Mexico Supreme Court. And after a couple of adverse decisions at the trial and appellate court level, the Supremes came out on the right way, not resorting to PRB1 at all, but saying, look, the amateur complied with the rules that were in existence at the time. You can't change the rules midstream. Different states are different. This is not the law of the land outside of the state of New Mexico. But it's a very persuasive argument, and one upon which amateurs can rely. I want to talk a little bit about state statutes. I do in my article a little bit. There are 22, maybe soon 23, depending on how the governor of Vermont acts, where PRB1 is codified into a state statute. Does that mean amateurs in those states are better off? Theoretically, No, because the federal preemption applies everywhere. It is, after all, a federal preemption. It applies to every municipality in every state of the country. And unless there's a minimum height below which regulation is prohibited in the statute, as there are in four states, Alaska, Oregon, Virginia, and Wyoming, substantively, it really shouldn't make a difference. Nevertheless, this really came out in the Saratoga Springs case. Municipalities sometimes take more kindly to taking direction from the state capital than they do from Washington. You'll remember in the Palmer case, the zoning board, in its opinion, said, but for the intrusion of the FCC in what we want to do and what we ought to be allowed to do, by golly, we wouldn't even be considering this. We just would have said no. And now we're considering it, and now we're saying no again. Perhaps Saratoga Springs would have been more receptive to direction from Albany than they would have from Washington. There is some of that mentality out there. If you want to pursue a state statute, there are a couple of things that I talk about that you may wish to consider if you're in one of the 28 or now 27 states that doesn't have a statute and you want to pursue it. First of all, you should realize that it's a long, tiring, drawn-out process. It, in many states, has taken years. You may not succeed the first time. We didn't succeed in Connecticut the first time. We may try again, and it's not the end of the world because, as I said, the federal preemption does apply nationwide. Theoretically, it ought not to make too much of a substantive difference aside from being able to point to the state law.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
You might want to consider, if you're considering specifying a height below which a municipality may not regulate, you might want to consider a potential catch-22 that a de jure minimum height might become a de facto maximum height if you're not careful. For instance, consider a state statute that prohibits regulation of amateur radio antennas below 65 feet in height. Let's say, for whatever reason, you need to put up a 160-meter vertical. You need to go up 129 feet. You will want to try to craft something that makes it reasonably possible for you to obtain a higher height. It's necessary in a given amateur situation for reasonable accommodation. You'll also want to consider, if you have a state statute, and if you have the benefit of a state statute, you may wish to consider choice of forum rules. And that's something you should really discuss with your attorney if you do have a situation that gets out of hand and escalates litigation. And really, I hope you don't. Part of my intent in writing this article was to educate both amateur attorneys and municipal attorneys on what the law is, what the law isn't, so that these things can be resolved without resorting to litigation. But if you do have to resort to litigation, and if you're in a state where there is a state law, you'll want to consider carefully the forum. In the Chedester case, the amateur was forced to use a state forum, even though the end result was positive. On the other hand, most of the law, as I've stated, is federal law. Federal courts are sometimes a little bit more advantageous. On the other hand, your local attorney might know something about the local judges, which could make the choice of forum a somewhat strategic decision. It's something to consider. Lessons to take away. Before you engage in trying to put up an amateur radio antenna tower, you should do your homework. You should know the law. You need to make a technical case about why you need the installation that you need. And you ought to get a lawyer. You've spent tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds, if not millions of dollars, on your new home. Spending a few thousand more on one of us is comparatively cheap. I know nobody likes to pay legal fees, but it really is worth it in order to make sure that you can enjoy your home. Perhaps most important is to be persistent and don't give up. I talked to a number of amateurs when I was on the staff of ARRL who had call up and say something like, you know, I called up before and you told me about PRB1, so I went and printed out PRB1, the little regulation, and I showed it to the town zoning officer, and he laughed and he threw it in the trash can. And that was 6 months ago, and I haven't done anything since, and I'm mad about it. That's an unfortunate situation, but the point has to be made that the amateur gave up or got a very unfavorable reaction, one that's not supported by law, and simply gave up. You can't give up. You got to stand up for your rights. It's worth getting some counsel and worth being persistent.
That was an excerpt from a 2006 Dayton Hamvention talk by Brennan Price, N4QX. Brennan is an ARRL volunteer counsel and attorney with the law firm of Axion, Veltrop, and Harkrider. The article he alluded to was one published by him in the fall 2004 Connecticut Law Review entitled Reasonable Accommodation of Amateur Radio Communications by Zoning Authorities, the FCC's PRB1 Preemption. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2006 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Neil Schaefer, AA9KK.